Second Peter chapter 1. This is Peter's last word, Peter's dying testimony. Peter coming to the close of his life, communicating through God the Holy Spirit that which is important. We have seen in verses 4 through 8 the positive aspects of Christianity, using something from the ancient world of the Greek drama, the chorus of 7, the different facets of the Christian life that have been provided for us by the Lord. Now, verse 9, we have a negative concept that of these previous things that we have studied, understanding of the Word of God, faith in the promises of God under pressure situations, using the character of Jesus Christ, using self-discipline to study the Word, relaxed mental attitude through producing mental attitude love, brotherly kindness, and then the word charity, which is really a total soul rapport with those who are like-minded in grace. Those things that be in you says you will not be unfruitful. That's where we concluded last time. Now, if you're not productive as far as Christianity is concerned, simply because of the fact you haven't taken in and applied the Word of God. Each believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a believer priest. You belong to a royal priesthood, which means that you represent yourself before the Lord. You have relationships in life. You have family. You have friends. You have children. But your primary function is your relationship with the Lord. Anything that comes between you and the Lord that breaks your stride has to go. That's what this is talking about. What is the most important thing? What is the utmost as far as Christian virtue is concerned? What is the primary prerequisite? What is our divine norm and standard? Well, we're to study the Word of God, we're to grow in grace by the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and all these other things will be added unto you. Now, in verse 9, we have 5 principles which are negative. Negative always emphasizes the positive. This is the principle of encouragement through discouragement. In other words, any time in your life that you've ever been discouraged, we all have, well, there is encouragement in discouragement. Because if there's something lacking in your life, you're still alive and God still has a purpose for you, and you can take that discouragement and turn it into encouragement through the grace of God. Now, the negative side is given in verse 9. These are believers who lack things. And it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. That's negative. Positive side. Wherefore, the robber, yes, 300 years ago. I want to tell you something. You may not even get to that verse, but I want to tell you that word rather is not rather. It says, wherefore the more. And it means, even though you do lack things, even though you're blind and disoriented and have forgotten how you were saved, even so, in that state, there is more for you. And it's a much more of God's grace in James 4. So the word rather is not a good translation. It may have been 300 years ago. You know, British people, they have something to say to you. Whether it's good, you ask them a question, they say, rather. If it's bad, they say, rather. And I have figured out the reason why they say rather is to give them a chance to figure out how to answer the question. But this word rather is the more. I don't like the rather. It means if you're blind, if you're disoriented, if you have forgotten how you were saved, you're still alive, and there's more for you than that. Get up. Don't lay down. was Jack Dempsey years ago. Before your time, who was a great heavyweight champion. They asked him, what is the secret to winning every bout? He said, just getting up for the next round. Period. And that's it. If you're down, if you're discouraged, if you're disoriented, if you've forgotten how you were saved, well, here's the passage that will help you. He that lacketh the present active indicative, which means that some people go through their Christian life lacking things. See, it's a present tense, which is continuous. The active voice, the individual believer is doing something or not doing something. And the indicative mood is the reality that we have believers in the 20th century who are lacking something. And they lack these things because they are negative to the Word of God. And when you are negative to the Word of God as a believer, there's an emptiness in you, just like there is when it comes to marriage. I was just thinking this morning, there's no football this afternoon. What are these football widows going to do? They're going to have to, you know, get with their family. You know, this may work out as Romans 8:28. You know, they may get to know what their other partner is like, for example. Hey, honey, I haven't talked to you since football season started. Anyway, these things they lack because they're negative to the Word of God. And when you're negative as a born-again believer, then there's a void. There's something missing. And because there's a void, well, something else is drawn in. Some form of religion, whether it's legalism or some type of a point system whereby you can develop some sense of pride or well-being. So it says, he that lacketh things keeps on lacking these things, and he does lack them. Indicative mood is blind. So first of all, the result of a believer being negative to the Word is the fact that he's blind, and this is the word, T-U-P-H-L-O-S. And the word blind isn't physical blindness, naturally. It's spiritual blindness. And it means that they're ignorant of the Word, that's all. Ignorant of the Word of God means that you're blind. And ignorance of God's Word is the greatest enemy to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did a commentary on blindness, and he called the scribes and the Pharisees blind, leading the blind. They weren't in the plan of God. They didn't know about the plan of God. And they were telling other people about nothing, actually. So the greatest virtue in the Christian way of life is knowledge of God's Word. Knowledge of God's Word is the basis for every function as a believer on this earth. Ignorance of the Word of God means we're not lined up with God's plan for our lives and with the grace of God. And therefore, we have the next phase. So the first thing is, when you're negative, you're blind. And then it says you can't see afar off. And this is the word here, N-U-O-P-A-Z-O, guipazo, and it means to be nearsighted. So now we know what the problem is with this person. They're not farsighted, they're nearsighted. So here's a believer who's negative to the word, and he's blind as far as God's plan is concerned, and he's disoriented to God's plan, nearsighted here. And accused here for disorientation to the grace of God. So this is a nearsighted Christian. So blindness has to do with ignorance of the Word of God. Cannot see is a present active participle. It's present tense again. Continual state, which means this person is disoriented. And we have a change from the indicative mood and blindness to the participle and the nearsightedness to show that this is a logical result. Now, not too many people are interested in the Greek language, but this brings out a point. Indicative mood here is reality. Participle means this is a result of this. So if you're negative to the Word of God, then it results in being disoriented. So one comes before two. Blindness comes first. And as a result of that, you're disoriented to the plan of God. Blindness causes disorientation. So first you have ignorance, or blindness, then you cannot see. This is nearsightedness or disorientation. And that's the negative side. See, we've had the positive side previously where we had the chorus of seven. And we had this word ad which was korigeo, which means to provide the expenses for the chorus. The chorus in the Greek drama carries the narrative in the Greek drama. And the thing that carries the life of the believer are these seven items listed in that chorus, which were virtue, which is divine production, which was knowledge of the Word of God, which was temperance, which was self-control and concentration. Then it was patience, which was faith under pressure situations. Then it was God-likeness, producing the character of Jesus Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Then it was brotherly kindness, which was a relaxed mental attitude towards others, and then charity, which was a rapport and soul love. So those were the seven positive things. And if you have them, then you will not be unproductive. So it was all knowledge of the Word of God. So knowledge of the Word of God, plus being controlled by the Holy Spirit, equals the production of divine good. Now, your greatest enemy and my greatest enemy in the Christian way of life is ignorance of the Word. It's called blindness here. As a result, you can't see, which is nearsightedness, or disoriented to the plan of God. So disorientation to God's plan is based solely on the Word of God. You study this another way. You cannot know the will of God apart from the Word of God. And you can't be oriented to a plan that God has for you if you don't know anything about it. Just as being physically blinded, you're handicapped. So here is a spiritually blinded believer, and he's more handicapped than a physically blinded person. The word far off that you have here, not found in the original manuscript, it was added to show the condition of a person who's negative. So it's not here at all. You just cross it out. There's no phrase of far off. It means nearsighted. Now, the third thing that we have. See, we had seven positive things before in this chorus of seven. That was positive. If you have these things operating in your life, you're fine. But if you don't, then you have three things. One was blind. Two was nearsighted. And now the third one is forgetfulness. And it says in the English Bible, and hath forgotten. Now this doesn't mean to forget. First of all, we have two words here instead of one. So it looks like this. Lambano, which means to receive, and then lethe, L-E-T-H-E. Two words. So the first verb is lambano, which means to receive. And the next word is lethe, which means forgetfulness. So it means to receive forgetfulness. So notice how this is going. If you are blind and you make decisions that you don't want the word, as a result of that, you become nearsighted and you're disoriented to God's plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. But you can't function in it because you're disoriented to it, because you're negative to the Word. As a result of that, you receive forgetfulness. It's a logical progression. So you start out with blindness. That's point one, which represents ignorance of the Word of God. Then you become nearsightedness as a result of it. That's disorientation of the plan of God. And you end up with receiving forgetfulness. This is a condition of a believer in the 20th century without the Word of God. Forgetfulness is going to be described here by at the point when you receive Christ as your Savior, grace at the point of salvation. In other words, you're going to forget how you were saved. Not where, not when, but the principle of how you were saved. And before we go any further, we may not get to our positive conclusion. I wanted to inject this. Any time in life that you are disoriented to God's plan, Any time that you're blind, as it were, or nearsighted, when it comes to God's Word, there's a gap that you can pick up on. There's an escape. There's a way that God has provided. All you have to do is sit down and just recall how you were lost and without Christ and without hope and without eternal life, and how that for by grace you were saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it was a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And when you orient to the grace of God at the point of salvation, you can pull yourself right out of that and grow in grace. See, that's it. So there's always a way that you can latch on to God's plan, be productive, happy, and prosperous just by recalling how you got into the plan. You didn't put yourself in the plan. I didn't either. If you had your way, you wouldn't include me. If I had my way, I wouldn't include you. But you see, we all came in the same way. We accepted Christ as Savior. We had nothing in ourselves. We didn't work our way to heaven. So any time in your life, if you're disoriented or discouraged, all you have to do is take out a mirror. Don't look at it. It'll kill you. Just breathe on it. If you see some moisture there, you know you're alive. And as long as you're alive, just remember how you were saved. You tasted grace one time. Hebrews is telling us that. And because you've tasted grace, he's going to deal with you the same way. Just get back in again. Start rolling in. See, that's what's so good about it. Forgetfulness is translated here, forgetfulness. What's the difference between the way the English is? You're negative to the Word of God. Certain things happen to you where you put yourself in slavery, and you begin to associate with inconsequential people. And it's because you're negative to the Word. It's just logical progression. Whereby you should have a love affair with the Lord, you go for false doctrine. Whereby you have right relationships in life, you go for pseudo-lovers. Different things like that. Phony friends. Whatever. So the difference here between half forgotten in the English and to receive forgetfulness says this is a logical progression. You start out with blindness, representing ignorance of the Word of God, spiritual blindness. And then you end up being nearsighted condition, which is disorientation to the plan of God. And finally, you receive forgetfulness. And forgetfulness here is going to be described as grace at the point of salvation. You forget how you were saved. It doesn't mean to forget something. It means that this is a process that causes you to forget. Now, let me illustrate it for you. Have you ever been in love? Well, some of you act like you're not sure. Well, do you think you've ever been in love? Let me ask it that way. Now, if you have been in love or think that you have ever been in love, do you have any memories? Now, I don't want to carry this too far because it may put us all out of it. This is just an illustration. Now, you may say, some of you, 50 or 60 or 70 years ago, I fell in love. And I remember we had a wonderful time. But what do you remember about it specifically? Well, I don't remember much of everything. You see the point? You have received forgetfulness. Now, you might have been in love and had the most wonderful thing going for you in the whole world, the love of the century. And then something broke it up. Now, the action of breaking it up, there was a disorientation between the lovers. See, Jesus Christ is the object of your love here. And the object of breaking up that relationship led to some problems. Maybe you had some problems in your relationship and it ended up in bitterness. Or maybe it ended up with antagonism. And this caused you to receive forgetfulness. Hey, you remember that girl over there you used to go with? What girl? You know what I mean? Never knew her. What guy? Memories are destroyed by mental attitude sin. We're commanded to take communion in remembrance of him, to get back to orient it to where our relationship should be. So let's go back and take a look here. Negative volition in a believer towards the Word of God creates a vacuum in the mind. Into that vacuum is drawn mental attitude sins which produce self-induced misery. If you have ever been in love with someone or thought that you were in love with someone and something has gone wrong with it, mental attitude sins are produced, and they cause you not to forget but to receive forgetfulness, so that you don't even have pleasant memories anymore. In other words, what could be pleasant? Whatever was wonderful is blotted out. Now let's take a look at this in the light of the Word of God. First of all, negative volition to the Word also means ignorance. That's the word tuflos, blindness. Next, we have nearsightedness, luopazo, disorientation. Next, we have lambano late, receiving forgetfulness. This does not mean to forget something, just as it's translated, something has happened. Something has interdicted between you and your memories. Now, here it is. A great love affair began at the cross with you and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, this love was based on the principle of grace, that's first love. Everything depended upon who and what the Lord is, your lover. He initiated love to you. Between the cross, when you started that relationship, and now something in your Christian way of life, you have forgotten something. You have forgotten the grace which started that relationship. He first loved us, and because He loved us, we loved Him. Now there's the illustration. We can take it in a practical life where a boy meets a girl and they court and everything else, and something breaks it up. You know, first love. The moment we were saved, this was wonderful, this was fantastic. We responded to the initiation of grace in God, and this consummated this relationship. We came into the grace of God. The only possible way is simply by faith. We believed. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. So grace was the big thing at the point of our relationship. And between that point and somewhere in our Christian life, this relationship, we haven't learned anything about the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ, how He thinks, and we have simply forgotten the only principle that ever came into our minds when we first responded initially to this relationship. At the point when we accepted Christ, we tasted grace for the first time. Now, since then, the people in this passage who Peter is talking about have been negative to the Word since the first time they accepted Christ as Savior. And they don't even remember the basis on which this relationship was started, in which this great love for the Lord began. So they have received forgetfulness. Logical result of blindness and disorientation to the Word of God. The relationship isn't the same anymore. You know, people get married all the time, and every one of them thinks that this is the love of the century, and it should be that way to them. They think that they're right for each other. Sometimes, unfortunately, down the line, they have some problem come in between, a lot of bitterness, mental attitude, sins. They forgot about that time when they met the person they were courting, and how great things were. Something broke their stride. I often wonder about that and ask them, too. If at the point you married this person, both of you decided you were right for each other, and it was right, and the Lord was behind it and everything, well, He didn't change His mind. Either something happened between you two, or it wasn't right in the beginning, one or the other. But if it's right, it's right. We accept Christ as our Savior, and that's right. And it can't be wrong. Of course, there's only one way of salvation, and there's only one Savior. Something has broken our strides. We forgot how that relationship started. And that's our strongest category for love, and that's love of the Lord. And it isn't the same anymore. As this English translation stands, it would indicate learning the word and forgetting the word, but that's not what this is saying. The point is, this is a person who has never learned the word. First, they were blind, which is a great enemy of Christianity. Then they were nearsighted, disoriented to the grace of God. And since the only grace they ever had was salvation at the cross, it didn't take long for them to receive something. And the receiving is a process, a logical result. And if they did not study the Word of God, if they were not exposed to Bible teaching, to a verse-by-verse expository teaching of the Word, then you will receive forgetfulness with regard to the grace of God where you first started when you accepted Christ as Savior. Some false teaching comes along, and you go for it, pseudo-lover, rather than the Lord, because you had only had salvation, and you received forgetfulness of the principle of grace, and you have no criterions, no norms or standards. You have no frame of reference. You have no memories any longer, so you have nothing to cling to. But remember, this is negative. This is a positive approach. The rather. Remember the rather? The more. Even if you're in that condition, you're all the way down, nothing can get under you, and you're alive, you can still function. That's what I'm saying. Now remember, none of us have anything to recommend us to God as far as His plan is concerned. As far as His plan is concerned, we're dust. We're as nothing. If God sees fit to promote any one of us, He will never do it on the basis of some gimmick system. God promotes on the basis of who and what He is. And there's no way of knowing who He's going to promote. He is perfect in His justice. He is perfect in His grace. He is perfect in His love, and our job isn't even to seek promotion. We have five passages that we're studying in our classes on how God promotes a person who is oriented to His plan. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. James 4, 6 through 10. Proverbs 3, 34. Joshua 3, 7. Acts 13, 17. All of our classes. God resists the proud, the guy that can say, I do it myself, I don't need your plan, and gives grace to the humble. The humble is a person who is oriented to His plan. Our job is not to even seek promotion. Our job is just to learn the Word and to use it faithfully as unto the Lord. Now, if someone tries to get with you at certain hours and check you out, did you read the Bible today? Did you pray today? Did you witness today? You see? That's not it. Now, here is a verse that describes it perfectly. Blind, nearsighted, disoriented, having received forgetfulness. When you study the Word, you apply the Word. When you study, show yourself a workman, and needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, God will honor that. Now, at some point, we've all failed when it comes to the grace of God. We all flunk. So we've all failed. That's not the point. The point is, what did you do? Or what are you doing after you failed? Did you sit around and cry about it? You can see that the Word is always here. The Word of God never changes. And the Word of God is for you, the Word of God is for me, and the Word of God means that the Lord is first. We understand Him. Through His Word, we orient to Him and what He is, and every blessing that we will ever have in our lives is directly attributed to one thing: we have never earned a thing from the Lord. Now, some people may feel that they have learned or earned something from God, but I haven't. I sure haven't. I know that I've been here in Houston since 67 by the grace of God. And I know that everything that I will ever have or ever won't have is God's grace all the way. See, we have a negative here in this verse. Blindness, nearsighted, receiving forgetfulness. The negative helps us to put together something positive. The negative always emphasizes the positive. Verse 9 takes us as we are, and it's very relaxing. The Bible is honest. And this verse makes all of us feel like there are none of us which are superior to others. It's important to understand that we are what we are by the grace of God. And for no other reason, none of us have any success stories to tell as far as God's plan is concerned. And as far as God's plan is concerned, you are just as important as anyone else in God's plan. Your gift is just as important as anyone else's. God the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts according to His wisdom. Don't ever let anyone teach you in such a way to make you think that you are less superior to them, that somehow you're a second-class Christian. You are not. God the Holy Spirit gave you a spiritual gift. He decided what it was. And don't let anyone ever talk you out of it by talking in tongues, as it were. Because you don't have that gift. And you can't get it by anything that you do. Gifts don't come that way. And that one is not available today. So look at verse 9 again. There are three things here we must understand. They're all negative. What's wrong with this guy, Peter? Here he is dying, you understand? What is he, bitter? Why is he so negative? Why is he always chewing people out? He says, but he that lacketh these things. Now, isn't that sweet in the King James English? But it doesn't say that at all. But he that lacketh these things means that they are not present. The chorus of seven are not present in this believer's life. And then he mentions them blind. Now, doesn't that mean that this situation, that the people here are blind? It means spiritual ignorance. It means no divine viewpoint and can't see, nearsighted. Listen, if you're ignorant of the Word of God, you'll never understand God's plan or God's grace. And you can sing Amazing Grace till you're blue in the face. But you don't understand Amazing Grace without a little bit of the intake of the Word of God. Then the third thing, so important, having received forgetfulness. Forgetfulness of what? Now the next three words are translated that he was purged from his old sins, but there's no verb here. So this is a very poorly translated verse. And literally it says, of the cleansing of his long ago sins. He has received forgetfulness of the cleansing of his long ago sins. His long ago is an adverb which refers back to the cross. That was the only time that this negative believer was oriented to the grace of God. Now, do you know that every believer is oriented to grace at least once when they accepted Christ as Savior? Now, you didn't know much at that point. You didn't understand much of the issue. But you did one thing. You believed in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ did all the work on the cross. Sometimes it takes years and years to learn all that Jesus Christ did on the cross. But it only took 1 second to appropriate it. Everything that Jesus Christ accomplished may take us forever to learn. And we may never learn it. But in 1 second, we appropriated it. We got it all. Isn't that interesting? So long ago here refers back to the cross. And the final word, sins, is the word harmartia. That's a plural here. And it means missing the mark or coming short of the glory of God. And this is missing the perfect holiness of God. So let's review this verse once more, and we'll leave it as we close this service this morning. Because I wanted to get to that build-up of verse 10. So the first thing this verse says, but he that lacketh these things, the present tense, keeps on lacking. That's a believer lacking things in life. Two, keeps on being blind, ignorance of the Word of God, the greatest enemy to Christians. Three, and is nearsighted, disoriented to the plan of grace. Four, having received forgetfulness, aorist active participle, forgetfulness of what? And point five, of the cleansing of his long ago sins. In other words, the cross sets up the pattern for grace, you know, throughout the Old Testament. You hear the same thing. I am the Lord, thy God, that delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. I am the Lord your God that brought you out of bondage. Anytime you want to be oriented to the grace of God and you're alive, all you have to remember is how this relationship started. You accepted Christ. It was for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourself. And when you recall that principle, and something is wrong in your life, you just go back to when you first were courted. And you remember how great it was. And it was grace and faith. It's got to be the same way. We'll take it up next time at this point. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the following portion of our service this morning. Well, for those of you who may be here, maybe you have never accepted Christ as Savior. We don't know. We're not going to intrude upon your privacy in any way. But we want you to know that Jesus Christ had you in mind when he went to the cross. We want you to know that if you were the only person in the world, he would have gone to the cross. We want you to know that when he went to the cross, he had you in mind. He took your place on the cross. The scripture says that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Not for only those who would believe, but for the whole world. So that the whole world can be saved. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the privacy and the freedom to make that decision right now with any intrusion from anyone else. God knows what you're thinking. And you can make that decision and say, I don't understand it all, but I want to taste some of that grace. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. When you accept him, you taste of the grace of God, which gives you a desire for more tastes of grace, and that's growing in grace. But if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we give you the opportunity to do so this morning. We'll quote a few verses for you. It'll help you to make that decision. Jesus Christ came into his own. His own received him not, but as many as received him. To them gave he the power, the authority to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's a promise. Jesus Christ stood before the multitude. John 6:47. He made a tremendous statement. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Verily, verily means this is very important. Now listen to it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He's put his character behind that promise. You can have everlasting life. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can have eternal life, not because I said so, not because the church said so, because the Word of God says so, and he's put his word above his name. You can have eternal life right now. Just by saying, I don't understand it all, Lord, but I understand that you died for me, God the Father, and God the Son, to be sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You can have God's righteousness now and be qualified for heaven. Also be the recipient of God's grace and heaven. You do that in a moment of time. You appropriate the plan of God and grace that takes us forever to learn by 1 second. One non-meritorious decision of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to do. Father, we thank you for this time together that you've set apart. Scripture says that things are set apart by the Word of God and prayer, and this class is set apart. We're asking that God, the Holy Spirit, would just deal with us individually and collectively according to our spiritual and our physical needs. You know our needs. You know our desires. You know our attitudes. We're asking that you, God of all grace, would just supply whatever is necessary in your matchless way. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.